Welcome inside the Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Most recently, Rutgers 1-1 in their last two games, a very difficult loss at Ohio State, and they bounce right back with a big win over Purdue on Tuesday night at the Rack. Coach, how are you?
Jerry, I'm doing good. Not better than, you know, before the game yesterday, but doing well. I do continue to win the Rack and jump it yesterday. The way that game kind of came to the wire and, you know, toe-to-toe with a great program, you know, a ton of respect for Purdue and the job he's done there. But it was another really exciting game. Only wish, you know, our crowd was there. Rutgers Nation would have loved it.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, I mean, we can pick up right there because the one thing that we did notice, especially when Purdue was shooting free throws down the stretch, your bench guys, and I know Paul Kagi talked about it in the post-game press conference too, like your bench was alive and they were into every second of that game. And I thought down the stretch, the support that you guys get from them was outstanding. And that's a credit to you and the coaching staff and the rest of the team. Just really cool to watch.
It's really, you know, credit to the guys. They've done unbelievable. And they really have in my staff too. You know, they're passionate. They're involved in the game. I love it. You know, I think you got to create your own environment now. It's so different than in the past. And, you know, my staff is very involved and the players that don't get a chance to play as much, Luke Nathan and Nick Brooks and Aiden and Daniel, I mean, just do, you know, like an unbelievable job of keeping that great energy. They're great teammates. And we talk a lot about being great teammates. And you saw last night, we had a few guys down, you know, we not the normal lineup. We've had a lot of injuries. We've dealt with a lot. And guys were just ready to go. And everyone was rooting for everybody. And I think that's so important. When Dean made his first shot, when Oscar made his first shot, I mean, the bench was excited as ever. And, you know, really excited that those guys got an opportunity. Duke, too, did an unbelievable job in his time in the post. Everyone that got in, and Mawat's still coming back from, he only practiced once since he's been back from his ankle injury. He'll be a big part of that, too. So really excited for those guys and love the way our veterans embrace and are excited about their success when they have it.
Let's talk a little bit about the resiliency because, you know, the game at Ohio State was, and we don't need to discuss it any further, but it was disappointing for a lot of different reasons that really had no fault of the kids. You had the injury to Jacob, the officiating, don't comment, but awful. And I thought last night, again, just showed me something about how they turned the page, flipped the script, and you guys came out like, you know, we're ready to go. And it was a tough day on top of that. Talk about how the team's mindset really, and the coaching staff, how you guys had them ready to go and that, all right, no Ron Harper Jr., next man up. It's a mentality that you can talk about, but they need to adopt and they do.
I mean, it really has been a mentality we've had for a while with the program, but now we just seem to hit a lot of things in a short period of time too. So we haven't had this kind of, you know, adversity, but I really do trust everybody on my roster. You know, I'm ready to play, you know, anybody. And I think you kind of saw that. And, you know, it happened late. We've been dealing with the injuries with Gio and Mawat and Cliff for a while now. Ron's just kind of came up. But those are things, too, that happen in basketball. And I talk to our guys all the time. I said, nobody cares. You know, it's a win or lose world, you know, that we live in. And, you know, whatever the obstacles are, we got to figure out a way. And, you know, guys were going to have to step up. And luckily, everyone was there. I mean, Gio looked really good, you know, his body for the first time. I got to give Jacob Young a huge tip of the hat. I mean, he had as good, as bad a fall as you could have against Ohio State. And he was banged up big time. And he didn't practice with contact. So we just kind of went through practices. But he was able, 35 minutes, I couldn't take him out. And he was hurting. You know, too. So he gutted it out, got through the game. Other guys had to play more minutes. Paul Mulcahy got the wind knocked out of him during the course of the game. You know, our big guys wrestling with their big guys. So a lot of things came up in that game, but we just kept plugging away. And I love the way our team, you know, responded, you know, to all that adversity with not a lot of time to prepare. And, you know, coming back, you got to bounce back in this league. I mean, I don't think, Jerry, you and I talk about it all the time. People don't know how good this league is. You know, like Brad Underwood said the other day, nobody's going undefeated. Like, undefeated. I'm like, you know, it's murder's row. So you're going to have to bounce back from games. I mean, it's just you're not going to win every game in this league. Every night is a whole different, team that's well coached that brings a whole new set of problems for you. And you got to solve those problems with a couple days of prep. You got to hope to be healthy as could be. And when a guy is down, you got to have the next guy ready to go. And our guys were ready to play last night from the opening tip. And a real problem. And they gutted through a real tough and good Purdue basketball team.
You know, based on everything that happened yesterday, and I know we discussed it briefly in the postgame show, but take me through, if I would have told you, so today's Wednesday, the game is Tuesday night. If I would have told you Sunday morning that Ron Harper Jr. wouldn't be able to play Tuesday night, I imagine things would be a little different game plan wise, or not really, because it happened so late yesterday. I was really impressed how, listen, Montez Mathis had an outstanding game. You mentioned Gio, all the guys played well, but it was as if he didn't skip a beat. Would things have changed if you knew sooner that Ron wasn't available?
I mean, we really didn't have a lot of time, to prepare for it, but I think we prepare every day for these kind of things. And the one thing I can tell you, Dean and Oscar have to do every day, they have to guard Ron Harper every day. It's a tough matchup every day for him. So when they get the opportunity to play, in his place, they pretty much are prepared for whatever they may see, from the other team. And they have been practicing well, too. It's just been a little bit of a difficult year to get those guys the kind of minutes that I would like to have already seen them, play. When you go murder's row like we get ready to play, and we have no real preseason to get you ready for Illinois and for Ohio State and for these teams, your freshmen have to learn a lot in a short period of time. And that's why we went, early with the veterans. They were just more prepared. And now, the young guys are catching up a little bit. But, it took everybody. I mean, Gio really stepped it up. How about Montez yesterday? I mean, and then Paul Mulcahy, he's guarding fives. He's guarding point guards. He's, wrestling in the post. He's making threes. He's passing the ball. I mean, the things that he brings us. And then Jacob Young has to play on a hip that's, not feeling too good. So we got through a lot of adversity, good sign, and good teammates. We're good teammates, and we were well prepared in a short period of time, and that's because we have veterans. But the young guys soaked in that game plan quickly, and we really executed it. They're terrific shooting the ball from three. We did a really good job on all their players, including Sasha, who's one of the best three-point shooters in the country. We gave up some twos, but, we didn't give up threes, and a big part of winning that basketball games are, when you take away one of the things that they do real well, and we did a good job of that.
Another episode of the Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. And yes, Sasha Stefanovic really did not hurt you that much at all last night. You guys did a really good job with that. You mentioned Jacob in the fall, you got Cliff is still working his way back. Just talk for a minute, the work that Richard Campbell puts in, David getting them back and ready to go. And for Jacob to be ready to play last night, I was stunned that he was playing after what I saw in Columbus. Just the work they put in to get these guys ready, it seems like it's a 24/7 type of job.
It really is. And Rich has been working overtime. And when you throw in the COVID thing, too, Rich's job has changed, a great deal. But we just seem to be, we hadn't had an ankle sprain in a long time. And we didn't have one this summer. We didn't have one in June, July, August. And then we start the season off and Gio gets one. And then as soon as Gio's kind of back, Mawat gets one. And now as soon as Mawat's back, Ron gets one, so these are just things that happen in the course of, a basketball season, but it seems to be all kind of around the same time. And Rich is busy. He's got the guys down there, today. He does a great job. I think he's one of the best trainers in the country. And then Dave Van Dyke, our strength and conditioning, does a great job of keeping these guys flexible and keeping them strong. And they work great together, too. So I'm blessed to have both of those guys here. They're both today with our guys, just trying to prepare their bodies. Because as it doesn't get any easier. And, Iowa's one of the most physical teams in the country. Then we got to play Ohio State again. And you just saw how physical they were. And, your body's got to, feel good. And, they're a big part in making sure that happens. And, I got a great staff. But, those two positions are huge on any staff. Because if the guys can't play, You know, as good as they are, if they're not playing during the games, they don't help you, you know? And so you got to keep them on the court for the most part. And the guys that have those injuries got to be rehabbed the right way and get them back when they're healthy and when they feel good. And that's, you know, really important. And if they can't play, then the next guy got to be ready to go. And I keep telling our guys that you go from playing no minutes to playing. Dean went, you know, played 17 real valuable minutes yesterday, you know, and he was ready and his body responded and he was ready.
No question. And you alluded to Montez already. You know, Joe Boylan has mentioned a few times how much work that Montez has put in the offseason and the three-point shooting. And I tell you, last night, you talk about a guy stepping up. It looked like he wanted the ball in every spot. And he had a couple of threes where we had it lined up, and you could just see it was perfect line. The work he's done, and for him to give you that type of an effort last night, I mean, you legit have, and this is a credit to your recruiting and then the kids you've brought in, you've got Ron, you've got Montez, you've got Gio, you've got Miles, you've got all these kids. You don't know who's going to go for 25 on a given night. I mean, it's got to be a really cool feeling. Do you ever get a sense early in a game whose night it might be, or is that something that kind of works itself out?
You know, you do. I mean, you get a feel, too, during the course of the game. And then a lot of it, too, Jerry's matchups, you know, who's guarding who and who can we take advantage of. And we really felt good about, you know, Montez, you know, from the opening tap. But we put some new stuff in for him, too. Because we felt like the matchups, you know, could be favorable for us in that. But, you know, you just have a feeling sometimes with guys and who's feeling good and who's had good practices. Like Dean coming off his two best practices. He had a great day on the 27th, a great day on the 28th. And, you know, when you have practices like that, usually it rolls into the games. And for him, you know, kind of did too. And Montez has been consistent all year long. And I said this, the biggest difference between his sophomore year and his junior year is just him. His consistent work ethic is consistent and regimented, you know, shooting time before practices, after practices, how he takes care of his body, how he watches more film. You know, he's put the time in. And I always say, it's always about the time. What you put into basketball, sometimes what you get out of basketball. He put a lot of time in the summer. His ball handling's better. I mean, shooting is better. His mid-range jump shot's better. But his practices are better. And I think that's produced, you know, better results in the games.
One of the things I thought that will not show up on a box score in the win over Purdue that was outstanding was Miles setting screens and getting guys free, whether to drive or open looks to shoot. It's things like that that I don't know, just impressed me about that kid. And, you know, you look at the box score, I think you'll see 8 rebounds, not many points. But it is every game, he just gets better and better. And I know that's got to be, for you guys as coaches, it's just got to be so fulfilling to see him accomplish a lot of good things.
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, one of the best kids ever, too, and a great teammate. You know, he's just one of those guys, very unique. And how about at the end of the game when he throws a cross-court pass out of a double team right to Montez Mathis, who hit a huge three at that time, too. So, you know, he blocks shots, he gets assists, he keeps balls alive. The last two, you know, the last rebound, too, he kept it alive. Montez secured it, you know, to kind of wrap up the game. You know, he hits the big free throw. You know, he does just so many great things, and his teammates love him, you know, and he's gotten better and better too. And, you know, I thought last night too, you know, the whistle, you know, like always how the games are being refereed really, really matters. And last night I thought, you know, they let those guys, and their big guys are real good and real physical. They let them both play, you know, let the guys decide it on the court. And I thought that was great.
What is it, Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnard's Health. Obviously, Cliff is out working his way back. What is the battle like in practice between Miles and Mamadou and Cliff? I imagine kind of what you were talking about guys guarding guys. It makes them better. It must be fun watching those three going at it.
Yeah, no, it really is. And they've been really good for each other. I mean, we've missed Cliff, you know, for a lot of reasons. A, he's a really good player. But B, you know, I think he helps prepare Miles, and Miles helps prepare him for the big you're going to see in the league. I mean, Garza coming up here, arguably the best big guy in the country. And then, you know, the next game, there's another big guy that's terrific. So they really help prepare each other. And their sizes are, you know, Cliff is 6'11", Miles is 6'11". You know, sometimes when you're playing a 6'5" backup, you know, it doesn't prepare you for what you're going to see in this league. So, you know, practice has been real good all the way around, too. The young guys have, you know, gone after, you know, Ron and Gio and those guys, too. So it's fun to mix up my teams because I can put Gio on the second team. I can put competitive, put Miles, you know, on that second unit, and I put Miles and Paul on that red team, and it in practice, the, you know, they go up against the black team with Montez and those guys. I mean, practices are good, and that has helped us become a better basketball program, having this kind of depth. And so we got to get Cliff back. That's an important part of this. Rich is working, you know, full time, and got to get Ryan back now too, because, you know, this season is long and these games are. You need all your players available, and when you don't have them, it hurts. It hurts you.
Speaking of practices, another thing Paul was talking about, not so much the energy of the guys on the bench, but he was talking about their scouting and the practice and what they give in terms of preparation. What is it? What do they do to get ready for practices to try to mimic what you're going to see on an everyday basis? I would think that would be a lot of film review and a lot of coaching. What is the grind like for them to get the, you know, the active players ready to go?
Yeah, I mean, they have, you know, a job to do, and you know, all of them do a really good job. Nick Brooks and Luke Nathan and Daniel Lobach and Aiden, they do a really good job, and Caleb's been helping us out too. In those areas, and they actually have to try to simulate, you know, kind of does. And every team in our league is completely different. So it's like a movie script. One day you're Rocky, and then the next day you're on Golden Pond. You know, you're these different movies, and you got to act out the different key people in them. And, you know, that's what they have to do, you know, in order to, you know, give us just a snapshot of what we're going to see. And they do a really good job. I mean, Luke Nathan is, you know, one night he's got to be Travion Williams, and now he's got to be Luka Garza. And Luka Garza steps out and shoots threes, so he's going to be shooting threes. The two big guys for Purdue didn't shoot any threes, you know. So he's got to change and understand what they're trying to do, and we try to simulate it as best we can, you know, in practice. And so it's very important to have that unit to be connected. And, you know, Nick's been on it for a while now. Luke's been on it for a while. Those guys, you know, kind of get it. Daniel Lobach now has become, you know, last year he was here, so we got to see it. He wasn't practicing with us, but he gets a good feel for it. And you know, we've added a couple more. And now Caleb helps us a lot too, because he can really, he'll be wheezing camp, I'm sure, coming up here. So, you know, I think the guys really appreciate that. And then they do a really good job in their roles there.
You mentioned Caleb. Where is Caleb? Like, what is his status? Is he redshirting the entire year? Decision not made. Is he feeling good?
Yeah, I mean, he's been great. I mean, it's a back injury, Jerry. Those are tough. So some days he feels good, you know, when you have a bad back, and he could do some things in practice, and then other days he can't do anything. So, you know, when Caleb feels really good and 100%, whenever that is, great. You know, and if he doesn't, then we get through the season, and we look forward to having him back. You know, he's a really good player, and he's a great teammate. In the meantime, he does a great job. He's like another assistant coach, you know, with the guys. He's great with the guys. He's got great motor. He's got great enthusiasm. So, you know, we're real thankful. But, you know, he hasn't been healthy for 2 years. The number one thing for me with Caleb, get yourself 100% healthy whenever that is, or if it is. Great. And if it's not, I know you'll be 100% healthy and be ready to rock and roll for next season.
And that's another thing, too, whether it's Caleb, whether it's been Gio last night, Ron, too. These guys are so locked into the game. I love when I see them jump into the team huddle. And as you're conferring with your coaches, like, they're talking to one another. And I don't know. It's one of those cool things to see that the guys are so locked into the game and so into what's happening that they still feel like they're a part and they can still help. That's a credit to them, too.
No, it's been a, they've really grown in that area too. And I do think, you know, not having distractions of all the fans and not have, you know, they're like focused in on their team. There's nothing else to be focused on, you know, and they're focused on the game. They're focused on the opponent. You know, they're not watching the video board. They're not, you know, doing any, there's such a focus that goes on now during the pandemic. You know, it's about us. And I said, in some ways it's almost like old school basketball, just a team showing up at the park. Nobody's there, you know, there's no tickets. There's no, you know, like who's ready to play. And you really see the guys that love to play. You know, this is all about, like, you know, Jacob Young just wants to pull, you know, whether it's in front of, you know, 15,000 people or at the park in front of nobody, like he wants to play basketball. And I think we have a lot of guys like that. And that's what it kind of is. It's old school.
New edition of the Steve Peichel podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health. Before we get on to Iowa and then, of course, Michigan State after that, on the no fan thing. So we're 8 games in. You guys are 7-1, 3-1 in the conference. Has it become normal in a sense that it's, you kind of used to it now? I don't know. We do the games and with the way, specifically the rack too, the crowd noise from mine and Joe's vantage point, it does seem, you don't even realize there's no one there. Is it still strange to you, or have you gotten a little used to it?
I mean, I hate to get used to this stuff because it's just so bizarre, but we have started, you know, to settle in. This is our new normal now. And like I said, the guys are focused. You're really focused anyways as a coach. You don't really, you know, people don't ever understand it when I tell them, you know, they're like, did you hear the guy in the fifth row yelling the whole game and stuff? And honestly, Jerry, I don't hear any of that. I mean, I'm like locked into what my team is doing and, you know, the sets I'm watching the other team run that I know we could take advantage of, or, you know, defensively, offensively, I don't really hear anything. So for me, it's, you know, it's kind of normal in that way. I do know our players, you know, they miss the students, they miss their families, you know, that's what they play for too. They work so hard. They want their families to be able to see them play and the students. But it's become the new normal. Like, you know, we're going down as soon as this is over and I'm getting tested, you know, COVID, and I'm going to be nervous until all the guys, you know, like it's no one's on campus. You don't see anybody walking around. It's us, you know, women's basketball, you know, so it's become our new normal. And I look forward to the days when it's the old normal.
Won't that be nice? Can't wait for that day. All right. So Iowa Saturday. Now, you guys have played outstanding basketball at the rack. We know that. Iowa's really good. We know that, too. You mentioned Luka Garza a couple of times. He has become, you know, the problem. How do you attack him? How do you do a good job on him? And how do you go out and win this game on Saturday?
Well, I mean, there are a lot more than Luka Garza, too. And that's why I think they're ranked 10th right now. They're averaging 95 points a game. I mean, like, that's every single game. And they're playing against really good defensive teams. He's a unique player. He never gets in foul trouble. Okay. He's on the court a lot. B, he can really score around the basket. So everyone talks about how good of a 3-point shooter he is, but he is almost automatic around the basket. So he's truly a matchup nightmare, you know. And then when you factor in Bohannon and Wiesenkamp and all the players that they surround them with that are elite, not good 3-point shooters, elite 3-point shooters. So you got a recipe for scoring a lot of points, and they certainly can do that. And they're a veteran team. Bohannon's in his fifth year. I mean, you can't play any more minutes than he's played in his career. Wiesenkamp has played every minute from the day he walked on that campus. Garza never comes out of the game. You know, like it's a team, but their bench is really good too. I mean, they got guys coming in that give them great lifts, and you know, they're a real hard team to play. And you know, you got to be really good. Like, that's the thing. You can't just take away one thing. Like, you got to be real good at a lot of things in this game, and you got to score some points too. You know, because on a bad day they're putting 85 up. You know, like on a good day they're putting 110 up. You know, so you got to be able to score some points. So you got to execute offensively. You got to attack their zones. They play a lot of zones, which teams in our league don't generally do. So you got to be ready for a whole nother game plan. Like, Purdue never plays one segment of zone ever. They haven't in 15 years. being the coach, and now you're going to play a team, you know, your next game up is a team that can play zone the whole game. So just very different. You know, we got to be ready. We got to be, you know, first of all, we got to be healthy. So they have today off, our guys, which they need. They're all down with Rich right now. Need their bodies to start feeling, you know, feeling better. And then we got to get ready and have, you know, great couple of days of practice. But they're a hard team to simulate too, because every single guy has unlimited range, really, once they get over half court. So very hard to simulate that, no matter what guys you're using on your scout team.
And they come here Saturday. And, you know, regardless of what happens going forward, fact of the matter is you guys have won 24 of 25 at the rack. In all of your years coaching, playing, do you ever have a stretch like that at home where you've played that well in a 25-game stretch, you know, with your home games?
You know, I mean, I did a couple times at Stony. We had some unbelievable runs, you know, at home. But this is, you know, it's a good thing. It just goes to show you, you know, how a good venue with your fan support and all that can really help. But, you know, Jerry, I don't think too much about those things, as you know, it's Iowa we're on to, and however long streaks, whatever that is, that really doesn't, you know, factor into my daily life. I'm on to, you know, Iowa, and I know we have all ranked teams rolling in here in the next few weeks, and everyone's a huge challenge, and home or away challenges are abundant.
Never gets easier, that's for sure. There's no doubt. Coach, thank you very much. As always, we'll do it again in a couple of weeks. Iowa on Saturday, Michigan State on the road next Tuesday. We'll get a couple more wins. Thanks.
Jerry, appreciate you. Have a good day.
That's the Steve Pikel Podcast presented by RWJ Barnabas Health.